Gonzalez, good afternoon to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Matter that I can get an opinion on relates to the same discussion as far as the coronavirus is concerned. Second page today, Motley defends decision to reimburse visitors. Have you read that article?
I haven't read the article, no.
Did you? But you didn't listen to her explanation yesterday.
Yeah, what do you think of it?
I think she has some grounds in relation to, in case the Barbados is being sued for negligence or something like that in terms of a visitor. But I am of the opinion that when you look at the amount of people in Barbados whom money is due to, you've got people from NHC who paid money to NHC, who are waiting on the refund from NHC. You got, as far as you're concerned, this hazard money, who people are waiting on the hazard money. You have a whole set of people in this country who are Barbadians, who are in fact depending on whatever can come out of this to rectify the needs and the problems at this time. But to tell me you're going to reimburse the visitor who was coming for only a couple of days, and eventually this reimbursement has fallen to the point where they're guaranteeing the reimbursement from what I've read. There's also a situation where you're trying to prevent any bad publicity given in foreign media as far as Barbados is concerned. But I think when we look at Barbados as a destination, and we compare Barbados as a destination, Barbados as a destination is like 12th or 10th down the line as far as international tourism. What I'm concerned about at this time is that the hand fall off is the position that people are contemplating where this money is going to come from, since we are in need of money. And why it is that we are looking at the reimbursement, when we know for a fact that in December, we were going all the way till we were told that the passengers at the airport, the chart on the virus was going all right. But when we look at the airport, the movement through the airport from December the 9th, I think that's the date, we realized that there were more people coming in. Now, my argument is this, that if we were justifying the protocols, and we're of the opinion that, as far as people are concerned, that you can't come for 10 days as far as the inventory, as far as it is concerned. I believe that it should be a concern that you should be able to pay the two weeks money. And anything else after that, you probably find yourself in a situation of the challenge within that delay. But we now have to catch up. We have to play a catch-up. Yesterday when I called the program, I never knew it was in the works, but it came up yesterday afternoon when I'm saying that the 14 days should never be split into two. Now they've gone back to the idea that it is either 10 or 14 days. So this would mean that your control, as far as the guest house are concerned, as far as the people are concerned, you come with an understanding that you're paying 14 days, that you're liable to be at least housed for 14 days, not for 10 days, no, not for 5 days. So we dropped the ball when we split that 14 days into two. And we allowed more people to come in. And then allowing more people to come in, we had a situation where you could not control the test. I don't believe that. What the appointments have done so far to this country, I don't think any other person fit in that position could have come out and have done these things that so far, because we were recognized by the World Health, regardless of what Warmi said. Dr. Tedros said that Barbados had a good program going. And
But seriously, though, Mark, you don't think that in all seriousness we were premature in celebrating this thing, though? Because the acid test comes with the numbers. If you don't have the numbers, then your system is not tested. and you are being congratulated for something that really is not as big a situation as could confront you. Now, if this one, this situation here, since we opened up the borders a bit more, rather not opened up, since the people started coming back for the winter tourist season, that upsurge in business, this is where you really see how the systems are. What do we have in place? We have gotten in this country, and yes, we have done a good job to a point, but the greater test was yet to come. And this is where even the Prime Minister herself recognizes that we have dropped the ball. There are some things that we did not do right. Now, let me say this. All of this is something that I began by making the point that we are all learning together. And the government is in no different position. So mistakes were made, and we now have to address that and move forward and try to tighten up on the areas where we dropped that ball, you know? We can't. Do you think it's unreasonable to look at it that way?
Would you say, Mr. Ellis, because when you compare our health standards within the Caribbean, not the world within the Caribbean, our health standards are extremely high. Our health standards and the discipline within the health.
So what do you say that to say what?
We have also seen
a significant rise in the number of COVID-19 cases, notwithstanding all of this brilliance and all of this goodness that you talk about. We are still vulnerable to making mistakes.
Let's take the spread of AIDS, Mr. Ellis. A lot of information has gone out so far in terms of the coronavirus. But when we look at what was done for AIDS, the committee that was set up for AIDS, and the program that was put in place was an impact, came as a direct impact. Barbadians have contributed, I think, to the coronavirus by the way of lifestyle. But way of lifestyle and not seeing a cut on somebody's hand or not seeing a heat mark or something on somebody's lips, they believe that the coronavirus is just out there. But as far as the AIDS was concerned, the AIDS was something that it wasn't seen. So when we did our campaign for the AIDS virus, we did our campaigns for the AIDS virus in terms of bringing people aware, making people aware that AIDS is not anything that you can see walking down the road or not anything that you're aware. So there were some very impactful signs that were put all across Barbados. There were some serious comments that were made on radio as far as the AIDS virus is concerned. But we are taking this thing, Barbados are taking this thing because they don't see the impact of it. They don't see the hair of the charts every day. They understand exactly how many people have been found with virus. But when you consider this country, where is a cosmopolitan country where people live in 11 parishes, and people live in some places in Barbados that you would not believe that they would live there. Now, how are we going to track down those positives and those negatives? Again, I say that. Where's the public health inspectors? Public health inspectors should be playing a major role in this exercise because they're the one who got them and the postmen. They're the people who got a map of almost every household in this country. They're people who knows exactly what is and what ain't. But we have a situation of a senior group of civil servants who operate the monitoring unit. But I personally believe that we have got a lot to do. Now, I congratulate Starcom. I can't congratulate Starcom and the moderators at Star for the thought of spreading this information and getting people aware of it. But you know, there are lots of people who don't listen to Starcom when they should. And there are lots of people who take information from people who listen to Starcom. I think we need, Mr. Ellis, we need to up the ball, up the game. We need to up the game in the sense of saying, well, look, let's do a promotion that every single person from the child going school would understand that there is a pandemic over there and a serious pandemic. And that the whole essence is that there's a preparation, not a scant respect for it, a feeling that it don't exist, a feeling that somewhere along the line that people got it and as far as they're concerned, they would put up the life with that person. I personally would suggest that a serious campaign be carried out to who is left in terms of the coronavirus. And not that it's, as I said, just not that it's something that you're going to see, it's something you're going to hear about. And you know where we're going to open up shop and start getting serious? The report of yesterday and today, where there are people in serious conditions at the isolation, in case one of those die, or in case something like that, then people become more aware, you know, we already had 7 days. So what are we worried about?
Okay, thank you. Dr. Brass Sachs, it's 11:40. Welcome to the program.
I thought it was me, but no.
You're on the air.
Me?
Yes.
Hello?
Oh, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you very much. I wasn't sure because sometimes you have to wait until the others in front go, then you hear some person say hello. What I'm calling first to say thank you to all of those doctors and nurses who have been working from the beginning of this pandemic until now. I just want to say thank you to them because I try to imagine in my brain what it is like to have to go to work day after day after day and put on that PPE. And, you know, you have to do all these tests. You have to try to keep yourself safe. You cannot go by your family and hug your family. And, you know, and then every day you're trying your best and then you hear so much negative. I mean, the negative, yeah, is important. But I mean the ones that I call the destructive ones who are not genuine, who just doing this thing to stir up trouble because, you know, for whatever reason, everybody has their own opinion why they do what they do. But I sit now and I listen to Brass Sachs. Sometimes we listen to some of what you hear on this Brass Sachs too. It can be so depressing to me, just me, so I could imagine the people who have to do this job every day, how they would feel to know that they are doing their best and to hear people try to say something is not doing the right thing and the wrong thing and all of this nonsense. But me personally, I am not putting no blame for what is going on, no doctors and no government. I am putting it on the carelessness of the people who knew that what they were doing was wrong and still do it. Because you know that you're supposed to stay in your room. You know you're supposed to stay there and not go out. And yet you go out among the people. What you think will happen if you don't get your results? I blame the people too, the Belgians, who refuse to wear their masks, who refuse to social. I see it every day. You go in town, you go anywhere, and you see people, and you know they're doing the wrong thing. Sometimes I myself have to ask people, wear your mask. Where is your mask? Let me come and speak to me. Where is the mask in the pocket? Take it out and put it on. We know what to do. But yet every day we say the government won't do this. The government was speaking to us from the beginning of this thing. And people afterwards start to say, well, they're talking too much. If they talk over and over, they say they talk too much. Then when they try to cool down, you hear on the radio, what happened? The government ain't coming and telling them. We are not little children. We are big adults. Most of us have computers. Most of us have the internet. We see what is going on outside. So we don't think it will happen here too if we get careless, just like how the outside people get careless. It is carelessness on the people that cause what we have now and not no government and not no doctors not speaking to people they speak. I listen to your radio station day in, day out from my radio turned on most mornings at 6 o'clock. Kiyashi, he says to people, put on your mask, social distance. Larry comes in every day. They speak to the people and they say, do it. You mean people can't hear? They cannot hear? So to every day waste time saying is the government won't do it. It is people themselves that have what is going on in this country going on. I know the government can only speak and say what to do. It is up to the population then to do the right thing. And to say that, I hear people saying that we thought that there was no COVID. And not we, some people, because I listened to a caller on your program and you people refuse to stop this man. Every day he would come on and say, don't wear a mask. We should be wearing a mask. We ain't got the COVID in here. We should be able to walk out so and all of that. Next thing I hear him say, we don't have the social distance. I hear the doctors agreeing with me. And now we hear him coming on your station and saying, don't test the people. All of this nonsense. The doctors trying their best to do the right thing, to tell us the right thing to do. And then they have to be counteracting the people that come in behind them who don't know and trying to give wrong information. I'm not speaking about the people that you bring on, like the doctor that the gentleman tried to criticize, because you have to have different voices giving different opinions, and you have to have people, everything, the government don't know everything. They're not God. The government can't know everything. So other people have to come. And somebody will have a little idea, and somebody in the government or something will say, well, yeah, there's a good idea. Because in the press conferences, now I realize that they're trying to pick up things that are going on the internet and say, well, look, we fall down here because they fall down. Yes, they fall down in some areas too because they're imperfect either. But it's a lot of information, misinformation going on and people listening to all sorts of different things. I go on the internet, I don't read the foolishness because I just read what comes from the government information service and what I see on the your station or the paper. And the legitimate news, I follow the legitimate. I don't follow the nonsense. I say I don't see some of it, but I don't follow it. I don't read half of it because I'm not wasting my time putting nonsense in my head every day. But people know what to do. But it's the carelessness of people. They want to do what they want to do, and then they want to come and blame other people for what they're doing. But I am not blaming them. As I said, I probably sound like a repeating myself, but I personally believe, I knew, I felt within myself from how I see people behaving that it wasn't going to be long before something happened. It just took one. I used my daughter in here to say that I keep telling them over and over. It would just take one person to go and infect another person who would then go and infect, and that's how it would spread and then be in trouble. And that's what happened. So instead of everybody blaming everybody, people that know that they do the wrong, I put all the blame on them. I know they have the whole thing, the whole system stressed out. The whole system stressed out. And it's obvious that if people in quarantine for days and weeks, you will get frustrated. If you have to stop in your house for 2 and 3 days and you cannot go, you will get frustrated. So I can imagine how the people in quarantine feel. And I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for the people, as I see already, who have no to go and stress themselves out to get all of these results. But the people who did the wrong thing and who know they did the wrong thing, I personally blaming them. And the people that coming on the radio who are not genuine and coming and bringing it up. This morning, I hear a man come and told you that he reads something on some credible internet, and you never even asked him to give you the site. You should, when these people come with these things, you should ask them to give you the site and let you find it out, because they see they're just creating mischief. Sometimes I even see that a lot of them would like to just see this thing rampage around the country so that they can have something to talk. But they don't realize that if it happens, it's all of us, all of us. Because I say to myself, I'm doing the right thing, but yet I could go beside some person who's doing the wrong thing and still get myself in trouble. So, Mr. Ellis, I thank you for the time, and that is my opinion.
Well, quite an opinion, an impassioned view, and I thought that you did very well in expressing your view. Down to brass tacks. There's a piece here that the vast majority of Americans say they oppose the actions of the rioters who stormed and ransacked the Capitol on January 6th, while smaller majorities say President Trump bears responsibility for the attack and that he should be removed from office and disqualified from serving again. This is according to a Washington Post ABC News poll. The report goes on to say that even as the findings are sharply partisan, over half of Americans and 1 in 8 Republicans say Trump should be criminally charged for his role in the attacks. The president also comes in for broad criticism over his repeated and baseless assertions that the November election was rigged and tainted by widespread fraud. By a margin of more than 2 to 1, Americans say the president has acted irresponsibly in his statements and actions since the election. You know, what goes really unnoticed is the number of people in this country who have supported President Trump right through. And there are quite a couple of them who openly have said, you know, they perhaps don't come on air and say it because they know that a majority of Barbadians tend to be left-leaning. But I can tell you that he has had a fair amount of support from some in this country. I wonder what those people are saying now. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello,
welcome to the program. Yes, hello.
Thank you. I wanted to discuss the COVID situation in Barbados. And the call before touched on almost everything I was going to say. But suffice to say, I believe that human behavior, Barbadian behavior, and probably culture and attitude had a lot to do with the crisis we find ourselves in now. I recall in the 80s, when HIV even was first detected in Barbados, there was a lot of education on the radio by the government. There was no social media whatsoever. But yet, Barbadians, the age group between 15 and 49, was nearly wiped out in the 80s due to HIV/AIDS. It was a serious, serious situation, despite the government educating the people, protect yourself, change your sexual habits. People persisted in mixing with the tourists on protected sex, and then they brought it back to the communities that they lived in. That was behavior. That was our behavior then. Come forward all these years later, 37 years later, we had the gun violence the last couple of years, a behavior problem again, attitudes and behavior problems. It started to wipe out the young men in Barbados, and the government declared it was a public health issue, which is true. Now, with COVID, we have so much information how to protect ourselves from last year until now. Again, we decide we want to behave how we want to behave. It's human nature, I guess. But in all those cases from the HIV AIDS in the 80s, the gun violence till now, something must be telling us that we have to change our attitude and our behavior, because we really brought this on ourselves. Yes, if a tourist come, we go around the tourists, protect ourselves. You wear your mask, you keep your distance. It's the onus is on us to protect ourselves. And that leaves a big question, what's going to happen in the future? And the Prime Minister keeps mentioning we're in the third decade of the 21st century. And if we're going to make it to the 22nd century, we have a lot of readjustments to do when it comes to our attitude and to how we behave as individual citizens and as a community. And that's basically what I want to contribute to the program.
Well, you spoke about the behavior of the population. You must concede, though, that this behavior is not inconsistent with what happens in other countries as well. This is not a peculiar thing to us as Bajans. You agree with that?
I agree. That is true. Yeah. That is so.
Therefore, we are basically behaving like how humans behave. And if you want to change that, then you got to start talking about what kind of process you're going to put us through to bring about that kind of change. I mean, COVID has exposed some serious concerns here where people are cooped up for too long and that sort of thing.
Down to brass tacks. Welcome. Good afternoon. 3 minutes after midday. Hello. Are you with us? Are you elsewhere? Hello.
Donna Brastak.
Yes, good afternoon.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have dropped out earlier.
You dropped out? Yeah. I'm so sure. I thought we were done with you already. You were on for quite a while. I didn't realize that you dropped out. Your form must have recognized that you had enough time.